We continue the Shiur in Gemara. Again, we continue the topic, the Mishnah, which says that every Jew has a part, a chelik, in Gan Eden. Every Jew, all-inclusive. But there are certain exceptions. We'll not go through the rules of that exception, those who are excluded. The certain mitzvahs that are that important that a person can actually lose his Elam Haba, but only the discussion about those that the Mishnah records. The Torah records seven people who lost their Gan Eden. Three of them were kings and four were laymen. Three kings were Yerovam ben Nevat, the first king of the ten tribes of Israel, Achav, one of the evil kings who followed, who lived in the time of Eliyahu Navi, and Menashe ben Cheskio, about whom there is a debate in the Gemara. Now, the four laymen, we've completed the discussion of those three kings. We come out to the four laymen. First, we have Doeg and Achisophel. These two lived in the time of King David. Doeg Hardemi was evil, so evil, in fact, that he not only rebelled against David HaMelech, but also he incited King Shaul against David HaMelech to the point where he had him pursue him with a desire to kill him. He also caused the destruction of the city of Nineveh, the death of so many Kohanim living in the city of Nineveh. Achisophel was the one who joined forces with Avshalom, the son of King David, against King David. And these two, the Gemara says, committed such evil crimes that they lost their part in Elam Haba. The Chiddush is that they were so great in Teda, they were so advanced in the knowledge of Teda, that at first Achisophel was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. Third one is Gehazi, we spoke about previously, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha HaNavi, who lost his chelik in Gan Eden because of the fact he committed two crimes. One, that he took the gift from Naaman, the one whom Elisha HaNavi cured from leprosy against the wishes of his Rebbe. And secondly, that's why he lost his life, he became a leper. Secondly, he lost his Gan Eden because of the fact that he called Elisha HaNavi by his name. A Korei es Rabbi Bishmai, one who calls the Rebbe by his name, loses his Gan Eden. This is the third. The fourth one, the only one in this record, is a Goy, Bilam, a Russia. Bilam was the non-Jewish prophet who was hired, summoned by Balak, Melech Moav, Balak the king of Moav and Midian, summoned to use his powers as a prophet, his powers of tongue, of mouth, of cursing, to curse the Jews, Chas V'Shalom, and subsequently he was killed by Pinchas, the grandson of Aaron HaKohen, and worse than that, he committed further crimes which we'll speak about later on. He is the fourth one of the laymen listed in the Mishnah. Before we go further, the Gemara first says that after all this was completed, after all the we spoke about this topic, the Gemara injects this statement, this very unusual statement, on which Rav Nosson Zal in the Likutei Halachos dwells. The Bi'ur Likutim also speaks about this statement, which says that Din Sheder Shumais, there were a group of rabbis in the Gemara, in a very high level, extremely high, because they looked into the sentences of the Torah, they inspected, investigated, and delved into the secrets of the Torah. And this group of great rabbis stated that every one of these in the Mishnah all will eventually get to Gan Eden. They all have a part in Elam Haba. None of these has lost his Gan Eden permanently. And they go on to bring proof from a pasuk in Tehillim, where hiddenly every one of these is mentioned. Yerovam ben Nevat, Achav, Menashe, Gehazi, Doeg, and Achisefel. Each one of these is mentioned in the Pasuk, hiddenly. Each one, they show proof that he will get to Gan Eden. Despite the crimes, despite the heinous crimes, the crimes of such magnitude, they will pay for it in punishment, but they will end up in Gan Eden. The Torah says that they stated that the Malachim in heaven asked Hashem. In other words, they accept this as fact. The Bein Likutim says that since this is a debate in the Gemara, the Mishnah says these will not get Gan Eden. And the Deshi Neshumim say they will get Gan Eden. That means we have a machlekes here, a debate. If there is a debate, this is considered a machlekes in halacha. What is the final statement in halacha? The Kutum says, Halacha k'deshe reshumais. Abnasos al paskas the dirim is like deshe reshumais, which means that nobody can lose hope. Everyone must know that if he reaches the peak, highest peak as a criminal, he still should know that something will remain. There'll be a part of him still going to Gan Eden. Nobody should say, I am lost completely, regardless. Of course, there's much more on that, as we've spoken many times. Above all, Abinazal says that the worst crime a person can commit is giving up hope. At no time should a person feel, I have wandered, I have strayed so far from Hashem, that I am lost. I am worse than all others. Chas v'sholom. That's the worst crime possible. Each Jew should know that you are a Jew. There's one thing you cannot remove from yourself, is the bracha shlei asani goy. Fortunately, you're blessed with that. Nobody can take that away from you. And therefore, you have hope because as a Jew, you are included in the Kol Yisrael. Now, we note, as state, at first they said that the Malachim in heaven asked Hashem, how can it be possible that Doeg and Achisefel can go to Gan Eden? What about the fact that King David said that I will not be mechel them, I will not forgive them. They have committed such crimes against me, against my contemporaries, that I will, if I see them turn to ashes, then I will crush those ashes at my feet. Those are the words of the Melech. Melechim asked Hashem, how then can they expect it to go to Gan Eden? So Hashem replied, you do not know the extent of my kindness, of my rachman. And I inject that rachman into those who are close to me. And therefore, I will take it upon myself to personally go to David HaMelech and beseech him to be mechel these two, to forgive them. Hashem himself will act as a defense lawyer on the part of these evil criminals and ask the Lord to forgive them, be mechel them. This is the kindness of Hashem. And therefore, even they too will be assured of going to Gan Eden. Well, the Lord does not say this, but we cannot help but notice, this fact, that when the Deshi Reshumais state all these the Gemara said will lose Gan Eden, they will get Gan Eden. Proof from a Pasuk. Note that the Pasuk and their words speak only about six and not seven. There is one that is omitted, Bilam HaRasha. We note that they spoke only about the Jewish ones and not Bilam. It seems that Bilam does not have any hope even according to them. It seems so, yet they say kulam. The word is kulam, all of them, every one of them, which means the previously mentioned ones, do get Gan Eden. What about the fact they omitted Bilam? This remains sort of a mystery. You know, we can find the solution to this in the Zayda Kodesh, and later on in the words of the Arizal. Let's analyze another point. The Gemara itself says that Bilam was the son of Beor, the grandson of Lavan. Bilam was the most famous prophet of the Goyim and a magician. There were two magicians alive at that time. One was Balak, the king of Moav. Balak, the king of Moav, was the son of Tzipor, the grandson of Yisrael. Note the illustrious grandfathers they had. Olaf, the son of Tzipa, the grandson of Yisrei. Yisrei, who was the pope during his time. Yisrei, who converted, became the father-in-law of Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam was the grandson of Lavan, who did not convert, who was the greatest enemy of Yaakov Avinu. Bikesh Lakid, as I call you, wanted to destroy, wipe out Yaakov and the 12 tribes. He failed to do so, but both of them had these grandchildren. Balak was the greatest magician in physical acts of magic. Bilam, the greatest magician orally, by mouth. His words, he could produce magic by mouth, which means that his curses were most feared. However he would curse, that person would lose in battle or anything. In fact, he had helped Balak in battle. Times when Leov was under siege and Bilam came and helped Balak just with his mouth alone. His curse brought about the downfall of Balak, Malach Moav, the Moav's enemies. And now there came a time when these two joined together to try to harm the Jews. At any rate, we come first to this statement. The Gemara says that Bilam, since the Mishnah says Bilam does not get Gan Eden, that means that only Bilam is a goy. That would prove that other goyim do get Gan Eden. We come to the question, is there such a thing as a Gan Eden for goyim? In this we have a debate between Rabbi Elazar HaGadol and Rabbi Yeshua. Elazar HaGadol says that there is no such thing as a non-Jewish Gan Eden. Goyim are just like animals, behemoths, and therefore they live on this earth. If they are good, they are rewarded here. If they are bad, they are punished here. But there is no Gan Eden for Goyim. And Yeshua says there is a Gan Eden for Goyim because it is only the evil ones that go to Gehenna that are punished. There must be a reward for the Chassidei Umasem, for the good Goyim. This, of course, is the opinion that is carried on by most later Rishonim, Achreinim, Sefer Kabbalah, that there is a Gan Eden for Chassidei Umasem. What is a Chassid Umasem? A Goy who obeys his seven mitzvahs. We spoke about that at length once. Plus, most important, a Goy or a nation that is good to the Jewish people. Now the Gemara says, back to Bilam. Bilam himself, being a Navi, predicted his own death. The words of the Gemara, he said, Tomeis Nafshi Meis Yisharim Usahi Achrisi Kamehu. Let my soul die the death of the righteous, and then my end shall be like them. Meaning, the Gemara says, that he stated, if Bilam would die a normal death, then he shall get Gan Eden. If not, if he is killed as he was, he will never get to Gan Eden. These were his words, and therefore, this proves the fact, as the Mishnah says, he never got to Gan Eden. This is what the Gemara says. Now, we continue that in the words of the Zohar Kodesh. Zohar Kodesh says that these words, Tomeis Nafshi Meis Yishorim, was actually a tefillah, prayer on the part of Bilam. He said, he davened that he hopes he shall die the death of Yishorim, B'nai Yishorim, the Jews. But he is a goy. And yet, Bilam was that great, and he was able to daven and make this tefillah. Shimon Yechoizal says there is a very deep secret involved in these words. I cannot reveal the secret. That's the end of the statement in the Zohar Kodesh. Now, if you have learned Shas completely and you have finished Zohar Kodesh, that's the point you got to. Since we're speaking to those who have finished it, we'll go one step further now. Rizal, Eri HaKodesh, says, I will reveal that secret. In this case, first, in order to understand the revelation, let's go a step further. Sotomayor Morris says, Rabbeinu of course in that sefer many times, that who was Bilam actually? Bilam, we know, was a Gilgal rotation of Lavan. Now the word Lavan reveals the three Gilgulim of Bilam. Lavan, the first letter of Lamed is Lavan. The Beis, his second Gilgal was Bilam. And the Nun, the Rizal says now, here's the secret, Nun was Neville. Neville was an evil Jew, and Bilam was Zechet to come back as a Gilgal as Neville. Remember, Neville was the one that King David wanted to kill. He married Neville's wife, Abigail. This Neville was the Gilgal of Bilam. So Bilam's tefillah was answered. He did die as an evil person, evil Jew, but he did come back as a Jew, to die as a Jew, even if though it was evil. How did this all come about? Why? What was the connection? And why Bilam, mainly in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? Here we come to the source of it. The fact remains that Cain was the so-called evil son of Adam and Eve. Hevel was the victim. And why was Cain considered the evil son? Because he killed Bazei Hamor. The serpent had injected a poison of the serpent into Chava. This injection, a spiritual injection of poison, spiritual, remember that word, spiritual, not physical. This spiritual injection caused the ruach of Cain, the ruach of the serpent into Cain. And therefore, since the serpent actually is the Satan, the Nachash Begimatria Satan, the Kelo, and the Satan is the Malach HaMavis, the angel of death. Therefore, Cain had this killer instinct in him as the angel of death's product. Therefore, he killed Hevel. However, this poisonous serum, this injection, was not completely removed by the birth of Cain. A tiny drop remained for the second birth, that was Hevel. Therefore, Hevel possessed, Tzkunizoya says, Hevel possessed too, a chelik toiv and a chelik ra. There was a part of Hevel that was pure, good, perfect. We know that Hevel stands for Hey, is the Chamisha Chumshe Torah. The Beis is the first letter of the Torah, Bereishis. The Lamed is the last letter of the Torah, Leini Kol Yisrael. So Hevel stands for the Torah itself, and therefore Hevel was the first Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was Moshe, Mem Shin Hei is Moshe Sheis Hevel. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was the Toiv Shebe Hevel. This Chelik HaToiv was Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Chelik Ra was taken over by Bilam. Since it was a very tiny Chelik, therefore he is called just Lavan, that's Lavan, Bilam, Naval, that tiny chelik of Hevel is not added except once when the Torah says Nevova Desasa. Nevova means a very despicable item was done. That tiny, one tiny hay is added to Naval, to Lavan, standing for the drop of Ra Shebi Hevel. And therefore we find that this was the reason why we had, why amazingly the Gemara says, Vaykom Yisrael Chacham Navi Kamesha, Vaykom Navi Kamesha, and that rise a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu among the Jews, but among the Goyim there was Bilam. How can you compare these two, Chas V'Shalom? Kedusha Shebekdusha is against Tumah Shebetumahs. The answer is, of course, they were two so far apart as is possible, one extreme to the second. Why mention both? Because both came from the same origin. One was the Teif Shebehevel, the other Rashi Behevel. Therefore, the Rizal says the secret here is that what he said was he achrisi kamehu, that my end be one of them. This prayer was answered, that he was the Gilgal reincarnated as Naval, and his final end was as Naval, to die a death of the Jew. And this is why the Gemara does not state this. Dershi Rishonis leave this out. They say kulam, all of them, yet they mention individually all but Bilam, because this remained a secret until after the Zayin HaKadosh brought it up, But it is all brought out completely, and we today are fortunate that we have all this information to draw upon, to be thankful that we have these Seder Satayla at our hands. Now, to go back to something simpler but deeper, we have to understand exactly what the Kavona was. The Gemara goes in to explain about the combination, this tie-in of Balak and Bilam. Very fascinating combination. Two members, two partners in evil and crime. A very fascinating one. Gemara itself first. Gemara says that Vayar Balak, Balak the king of Moab, saw the Jews, what they had done to their enemies. And Vayagal Moab was very much afraid of what the Jews could do, and so he and Midian got together. Moab and Midian got together, and they went to summon Bilam from Aram Naraim. Gemara says, Moab and Midian got together. How could they get together when they were always at war? The Moshe is, the Gemara says, like two dogs who hate each other, always fighting. One day, a wolf came and attacked one of the dogs. The second dog said to himself, if I don't help this other dog, the wolf will kill him and then kill me. And therefore, I must help my enemy, this other dog, to defeat our common enemy now. So he joined up with this other dog to attack the wolf. This was the case of Balak, Malach Moav, and Midian, two dirty dogs who kept fighting each other. Hamakya es Midian mistay Moav. Yet when they saw the Havdil that the Jews came, a common enemy, they both joined up. This is the case of these false-faced Rishoyim in the United Nations, or among the Arabs. Midian and Moab are Arab nations. Syria, Jordan, Syria and Egypt, who hate each other with a passion when it comes to deal with the Jews, Mahabdil, then they join up, become brothers with the pretense that they like each other. Nothing can be more false, yet it is fact that their sinner towards the Jews is so great, they're willing to join hands together. He knows this is the same as people say about the weasel and the cat, two enemies, deadly enemies, who never made peace, and yet sometimes they eat together. It's because of a bad sign, something wrong has happened. This was the case of Midian and Moab joining together to summon, to invoke the assistance of Bilam to curse the Jews. Now, the wording of Balak, his message was, I see a people coming, Hine Kisa es Ein Haaretz. This people, the Jews, have covered the face of the earth. And he also says this means, what is the face of the earth? Ein Haaretz, the eyes of the earth. The eyes means the leaders. The eyes means the opening, the gate of the earth. Haaretz means Haaretz Tamiz Eretz Yisrael. The eye, the gate to Eretz Yisrael, has been covered by these people. So this means that they have defeated the protectors of Eretz Yisrael. Sichon Melech HaMeiri and Og Melech HaBashan were defeated by the Jews. These were the ones that protected Eretz Yisrael against any invaders. And now that the Jews have destroyed them, Balak said, we stand no chance. We must get rid of them. What did Balak mean by that statement? Why was it so important to defeat the Jews now that Sichon and Og had been wiped out? He mentioned this during the summer. You probably heard it from our transmitter, the summer shiurim, but it's very important to repeat this again. But those who hadn't heard it during the summer, they should appreciate this bit of information. Megal Amukai says that we speak about the gate. The gate, as far as we are concerned, the entrance, deals with the mitzvah of mezuzah. Mezuzah, the gate to a home, the gate to a city, the gate to a country, still requires a mezuzah. What is the mezuzah for? Mezuzah is protection. The word mezuzahs, the Zohar Kodesh says, it's made up of the letters mezuzahs, zoz, moves. Zoz, remove death. By having a mezuzah on the door, you remove death from that home, from that city, from that country. Now, that is the reason for mezuzah. At the same time, the word mezuzah also stands for the king, Dino, Malchus, which is the Shem, name of Hashem, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, is Begimatria Mezuzah, 65, Samachai, the same as Mezuzah. Now, on back of the Mezuzah, those are the same Mezuzahs, you have corresponding to the first line, Shema Yisrael, Hashem, Elekeinu, Hashem, Echad, you have three Shemas, Hashem, Elekeinu, Hashem, you have the name of Hashem in code. In code means the we use the next letter. After the Yud, you have the letter Chaf, Yud, K, Vav, K. After Yud, you have Chaf, after the K, you have Vav, after the Vav, you have Zion, after the last K, you have Vav. So look in the back, you'll find the letters Kaf, Vav, Zion, Vav, and then Beis, Mem, Vav, Chaf, Zion, Samach, Kaf, Vav, Zion, Vav. Responding to the words Hashem, Lekeinu, Hashem. Look at any mezuzah, you'll find that the mezuzah is kosher. You have there these three names on the outside of the mezuzah, plus under the word Shakai, Shindalad Yud. These three names on the outside stand for the protection that is found in the mezuzah, the three names of Hashem. The three names together, standing for this protection, Begimatria, Reish Yud Gimel, 213. This stands for protection of whatever place it is placed in front of, wherever this gate is. And we find that this Reish Yud Gimel, this protection, we first find it stated by Yaakov Avinu when he left Lavan. They put up a mound, little mount, stones. Yaakov called it Gal-Aid. Gal-Aid, testimony of this will be the protection against your invading our territory. And Lavan called it Yigar Sadusa. Sadusa means testimony, also aid. Yigar means a mound. But Yigar, Lavan tried to use this power of mezuzah. Yigar is Reish Yud Gimel. 213, using that as a form of invoking the power of mezuzah against Yaakov. This we find later on, the descendants of evil were placed as a mezuzah of evil against Eretz Yisrael. To protect the entrance to Eretz Yisrael, they were set up the kingdom of Sichon and Og, these two giants. Sichon, Og, Begimatria, Reish Yud Gimel, exactly. 213, and therefore it says that Balak was not by a fachet, he was afraid, by Yogor, he feared Yogor, Reish Yud Gimel. He feared because of the fact that now he saw that the Sichon Og were defeated, where was the protection against the Jews? This is why he called upon Bilam to help in this case. The result was, of course, they were defeated, but in order to ensure the Jews' safety in Eretz Yisrael, we can now see the secret of the setup and the way they were distributed. There were 10 tribes, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 tribes, and 9.5 of those tribes entered into Eretz Yisrael. 2.5 tribes remained outside in Eivar Yarden. They took up the land of Sichon and Og. Why 2.5? The Zohar Kodesh says that every tribe of Israel represented by the name of Hashem, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, as Hashem calls the Jews. 2.5 times Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is Begimatria Mezuzah. Begimatria, the same as Mezuzah, and they are the Mezuzah for the gates to Eretz Yisrael. Mezuzah, of course, is the name of Hashem, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud be Miloy, Aleph Lamed Pei, and so the Miloy is Begimatria Tara, which means gates, Shar. So this Shem Adne, which is Mezuzah, is the guard of the gate, wherever it is placed, in this case, Eretz Yisrael. This is the reason why we can see now from Balak invoking, pleading for the assistance of Bilam to come and to correct that harm which had been done in the eyes of Balak. Now, the Gemara says that, to go one step further, if we may, again, something we mentioned the summer, just a few there. This is something which is said in the name of different mafarshim, but it seems to me that, or it seems pretty certain, I've seen it in the by the Goyen, the Vilna Goyen himself, and it would seem positive that he would be the author of this, since it's in his own sefer, in his own words. The words of Bilam Horosho, who came to Balak, invited by Balak, came to him, and when he was asked to curse the Jews, of course, you know the story that Hashem told Bilam, you will say only what I tell you to say. And so when he came to Balak, he said to Balak, after saying a bracha instead of a curse, he said to Balak, Vayucha la'avod es pi Hashem alekoi. I cannot do anything against the word of Hashem alekoi. Twice, Hashem alekim. Balak speaking words like that. And again his words were more echoey, what shall I curse? Lo kaboy kale. Hail, Hashem does not want me to curse. More ezoim, what shall I say in anger? Leizom Hashem. Again he uses the word kale and Hashem. Here the Goyen Sal says that we can understand now what the Gemara says, the Midrash, that how was Bilam stopped from cursing the Jews? There is a debate, whether both of course are correct. One rabbi says that there was a chikah placed in his mouth, the other says a resin. Chikah and resin. Chikah is a hook, resin is a bridle, which means a chikah is something which forces the mouth to be closed, and a bridle is something that forces the mouth to be opened. Now you stop him from talking by opening his mouth, by closing his mouth. Why both? Why not just close his mouth and complete it? The answer is that Bilam knew. Bilam knew the secrets of Hashem's name. Both the names of Hashem, one stands for chesed and one stands for din, for harshness. Chesed, kindness. Yud kei vav kei is chesed or kindness. Elikim is din. Elikim is harshness. However, there is a secret involved. Yud kei vav kei is kindness, but that name consists of two parts. Yud kei alone is din. Yud kei alone is din. It's only when you have yud kei vav kei that it becomes kindness. So you have the first half din, completed, it becomes kindness. Elikim is din. But the first two letters, kale, chesed, kale, kol hayayim, first two letters, kale is kindness. Kale alone is kindness, completed as din. So Bilam said, mo ekoiv lo kabei kale. How can I curse if kale does not let me curse? I want to say the word likim, to curse the Jews with din. I get to the word kale, there is a chikah placed in my mouth, I must close my mouth to the word kale. When I start to say the kim, I close it when I say kale, Hashem closes my mouth, and I leave with kale, which means kindness. But mu'ezim, I try to say the word yud kei, and stop there with din, Hashem opens my mouth and forces me to say the whole name yud kei vav kei. Whatever I try to do, I am forced to either stop or to complete according to what the word is. Therefore, his word was, I cannot go against his pee, my mouth, with the names Hashem Alekoi, Hashem Alekim. And I try to use the din of Hashem, just Yud Kei, Hashem forced me to open my mouth and finish the word Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is Chesed. And I try to use the word Alekim to cause din, harshness, Hashem closes my mouth and just say the word Kei alone. This is what the Vilna Goyen says, and of course this we can understand, these psukim, the words of Bilam, then so clearly. We can appreciate the depth of the Vilna Goyen, even if we don't understand that, at least we know that our neshamas have heard this, and they surely understand it. Well, the Gemara says that about Bilam, let's analyze Bilam himself. Bilam, the Gemara says, was a cripple. How was he physically? Was he good looking? Was he tall, handsome? Bilam was what we call in Arabic fakham, which means that he was, for one thing, he was a cripple on one foot, and secondly, he was blind in one eye. Cripple on one foot and blind in one eye. Why? Because what was the crime of Bilam? To really analyze Bilam, we know that his crime was not that he went to curse the Jews. That was secondary. His main crime was that he caused thousands of Jews to be killed in a plague. Because he knew the secret really angering Hashem. And this advice he gave to Balak. He said to Balak, there's no way to destroy the Jews because they are invincible. You can only do it only by angering Hashem against them. And the one thing that Hashem despises, to the extent where it angers himself and kills the Jews, Chas v'Shalom, is a sin of Zimus. If they have illicit relations with women, this will turn Hashem against them. Therefore, he advised Balak to bring women from his people that would entice the Jews into the sin. And of course, this is where Pinchas came and stopped the plague, but not before there were thousands of Jews that were killed in this plague. This was the work of Bilam. So because Bilam caused this, therefore he was crippled on one foot. The foot, of course, stands for the Sfiras Yisoid. One, the central legal of Yisoid, Yisoid Tzadik, that's Bris Kodesh. Therefore he was crippled on that. And the eye, because the eye is the symbol of Asur Achrei Enechem, not turn after your eyes, you say in Kriya Shema, which refers to Zanus. Therefore he was crippled on one foot and blind in one eye. You find the Gemara says that Shimshon was crippled on both feet, and he was blinded later on both eyes because he had done something, a small measure, comparatively with a woman illegally. The reason was that Shimshon was a tzaddik. Because of this minor item, comparatively, Hashem is so particular with a tzaddik that for the smallest infraction, the tzaddik is given the strictest type of punishment possible to retain the purity of his neshama. But we see the parallel there. This is the reason for the physical deficiency, defects in the part of Bilam. He also says, too, that Bilam possessed chutzpah, arrogance. And Hashem told him, do not go with these messengers who came, messengers from Balak and Midian, Mayav Midian, Hashem, do not go with them. And when the messengers came, Bilam said to them, I cannot go with you, however, wait, maybe Hashem will change his mind. That's a show. Next day, we find Hashem said to Bilam, go. Go, but be careful of what you say. You know, as we see that chutzpah is so great, arrogance is so strong, it helps even against heaven. His arrogance against heaven was so great that Kabayachal, heaven gave in to him to a degree. Of course, it proved his undoing. We find that chutzpah is like a king. A person with chutzpah can take over the leadership of any organization without wearing a crown. Chutzpah is called a malchus, a kingdom without a crown. Just the crown is missing there. However, of course, there's one point on it. Gemara says that one who has chutzpah has only one destination. Final destination is Gehenna, as potem Gehenna. However, Gemara says that there are certain things that are normal. When there is a path that is normal, this path can be changed because of two reasons. Either because of ahava, a very powerful affection, can make a person do something which is not normal, or because of an unusual degree of sin of hatred. We find this happened to two people. Avraham Avinu possessed such a deep ahava for Hashem that when Hashem said to him, go in the morning, go and take your son Yitzhak for a sacrifice, that morning he awoke very early. Yash came up by Kedah very early, and then Vayachvesh Eschemedeh. He himself, though he had servants, many servants, he was very wealthy, he went and he saddled his mule himself, something which was against his normal actions. Nobody bothered with saddling a mule. Because his avod Hashem was so great, he went and did everything himself. This was breaking the normal pattern because of his deep ahava. The case of Bilam HaRasha, who was so evil, his hatred for the Jews was so great, that it says, Vayachvesh to, he himself saddled his own mule in order to rush to get to his employer, in this case, Balak, and to begin work on producing the curse that would affect the downfall, so-called downfall of the Jews, Chas v'Shalom. Now, when he got to Yet to Bullock, Eros says that there, before he attempted to curse the Jews, at each moment, each time, he told Bullock to prepare sacrifices to Hashem. Perhaps this would help to bring about a closeness with Hashem. Maybe Hashem would be willing to accept the curses of Bilam. Of course, it did not work. Gemara says, though, that Bullock did extend himself as much as possible and brought 42 sacrifices to Hashem, a total of 42. These were done not with the intention of bringing kavod to Hashem. However, since it was done to honor Hashem, even though it was shana lishma, not for the sake of kedusha, he was rewarded for it. As the Gemara says, a person should always do mitzvahs and learn Torah, even if it's not for the sake of purity, not for the sake of honesty doing the mitzvah, still learn Torah and do mitzvahs. Eventually, you get to the point you'll do it for the sake of mitzvah itself. In this case, Bullock, who brought these 42 sacrifices, was zecher for this mitzvah to the greatest possible reward. No greater reward is possible than this. He did a mitzvah shlo lishmo. Shlo lishmo means, like learning Torah shlo lishmo means that a person does it for the sake of, he learns Torah for the sake of what? Of either honor, he wants to gain a big name as a Talmud Chacham, or for the sake of wealth. The Gemara Torah says, b'smeila eishev achoved. You learn Torah b'smeila, what is the word smeila? The word shlo lishmo. Shlo lishmo. Person learns Torah shlo lishmo, eishev achoved, he gets wealth and honor. Person who does that is still justified because he should do that because eventually he'll learn the Shema. And the Shema means, the word the Shema is LeHashem. He'll learn for the sake of Hashem, even though he starts off Shalom Shema. Person does not want to start Shalom Shema, he'll never get to the Shema. This was the case of Bullock, who brought the 42 sacrifices Shalom Shema. For this reason, he was blessed. And eventually, him came forth, he was the king of Moab. Him came forth his great-grandson, whose name was Eglon Melech Moab. And from Eglon Melech Moab came his daughter, Rus. And Rus, the descendant of Bullock, became the wife of Boaz, the great-great-grandmother of David HaMelech and Mashiach. That means that directly descended from Bullock, this Russia, was Mashiach. Imagine a person should be deserved such a great covenant and honor for what? Because he brought sacrifices to Hashem, not for the sake of Hashem, but Shalom Lishmo. Still, the mitzvah Shalom Lishmo has such reward. Imagine the reward a person has for serving Hashem with sincerity, with honesty. To serve Hashem really Lishmo. Because of the sake of Ahava for Hashem, imagine what reward can come from this forever and ever after. If a lishmo mitzvah can bring about a reward to the coming of Mashiach, then surely a mitzvah lishmo. Therefore, a person should dedicate himself, and though he feels he's not doing well, but at least do. You have a chance to do a mitzvah, do it. Even though it's a mitzvah that's crippled. You see the arms and legs are crippled. The action is poor. Do it still because good will come of this. Some good will come out of it. And eventually, this will become better, you'll be able to do it to a much better extent than to a case of the Shema. Because they must come good from any mitzvah. This is what the Gemara tells us. And this is what Nosazal stresses, that a person should always serve Hashem. As weak as he thinks he is, it is still very precious in the eyes of Hashem. It's like a small child is trying to walk and is cute in the eyes of the parents. As the child grows, of course, becomes able to walk by itself. This is the path the Jew should take, always striving to lead to Hashem on the path that goes to Kedusha. And this path, of course, is solid only when it is attached to the Tzaddik Emes, because when he holds on to this person, he is sure to get to the proper goal. Let's hope that we'll be zechut to this true discussion of Tzaddik Emes, and that's of course we'll be able to see the coming of Mashiach that came.